You may take your seat. Are you ready for his word this morning? Would you please turn with me to the book of Job? The book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Perhaps. And I read from verse 1. It says, in the land of Oz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Kind of like the way whoever's writing this book, people believe it's Moses, others believe it's not, but whoever's writing this book, I like the way he presents Job, because he in describing Job, he starts by, you know, saying who he is, his relationship with God. You know, he talks about his possessions, his family, he talks about his position here on earth. And all of this is important, because if the devil can get you in any of these areas, he can distract you from God. Now, you see, he's talking about Job. The first 3 verses is talking about Job. It's talking about something that happened here on earth. And when you get to verse 6, it switches from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spirit. Now, see what's happening. It says, one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. One day, let's go back again. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came. It doesn't even say Lucifer, it says Satan. So in the holy gathering of the saints, you see that demonic presence there. Satan, that demonic presence is there. But if God is for you, nobody can stand against you. Absolutely nobody. Then, and so as a result, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And then Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. Absolutely nobody. I always say that you're immortal until God himself decides to take away your breath. If he doesn't do nothing, nobody can harm you. But you see, when God releases Satan to do whatever he wants, he strikes Job so bad. The Bible says he destroys his possessions, he kills his children. In fact, the only person that he leaves is Job's wife. And I believe even that he had a reason why he did that. But he destroys everything that Job has, completely everything. And the interesting thing or remarkable thing is when Job hears that everything is destroyed, he bows down and starts worshiping God. That guy lost everything. The only thing he did not lose was his faith and his relationship with God. His faith and his relationship with God. At some point, even after all this, the devil decided to hit him again with serious sickness. Listen, I was saying the other day, sometimes life will take you in a direction that you didn't see yourself going. I don't think for once that Job expected that this was going to happen to him. He didn't. Sometimes you plan things and then things don't go the way you expect. Did he ever think that he was going to lose all 10 children at the same time, all in one day? Lose 10 children, lose all your possessions, everything, all in one day. That's good enough to make you mad. And yet this guy, when he hears it, he falls down and he begins to worship God. How many people can do that? Many times when things like that happen to us, we walk away from God instead of going close to him. We walk away because we blame God for everything. Everything. Sometimes life will take you, it happens, it will take you in a direction that you did not see yourself going. You know, you growing up, you think, oh, by the age of this, I'll be here, I'll be doing this. And then you grow up and it's the complete opposite. it happens. You know, you lose family. Sometimes you don't even know how sickness comes into your body. You eat well, you do everything well like Job is doing, and somehow you find your place and you find yourself in a place that you didn't even see yourself going. And the devil hit him with such a sickness. And I wonder, Job, you see, we know about this because God chooses to reveal this to us. If God hadn't revealed to us what was going on in the realm of the spirit, we probably wouldn't have figured out. And maybe it's God's way of saying there's always a link, or that what happens in the realm of the spirit has an impact here in the realm of the natural. That's what God is trying to tell us. You know, we know these people say, look, how can God be like this? How can he let something like this happen to somebody who was righteous, somebody who was blameless? They keep saying, why is God like that? But in the first place, you need to understand that it's God who caused this particular scripture we're reading to come in the Bible in the first place, because he wants to show you something. He wants to show you something. That's why he allowed this to happen. You know, and he hit, and I was thinking, did Job even know that what he was going through was as a result of a decision or a conversation between God and the devil? Did he even know that? Did he know that what was going on in his life right now was something that was above the realm of the natural, that something that was taking place in the heavens that's got an impact in his life? And sometimes, you see, when he got sick, I wonder, did he know that this sickness is spiritual? Did he even know that? Because sometimes you can be diagnosed with a condition, or you go to hospital, you know you're not well, and doctors will search, and they find absolutely nothing wrong with you. And it makes me think that maybe the issue of the woman, the story of the issue with the woman with issue of blood, and perhaps could it be that was spiritual even? That because the Bible said she spent everything she had, and at best she was getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And she waited till she was completely drowned before she went to God. And sometimes I wonder why we wait for so long before we eventually go to God. There's nothing wrong in medication or anything, but when you first hit with sickness, the first place you probably should go is the throne room instead of the medicine cabinet. Then, you know, you go to the throne room first, pray, and then whatever follows. But sometimes we wait and wait till it's too late. But if it's a spiritual issue, there's no way you can deal with it in the realm of the physical. I want to show you something in Mark chapter 5, the book of Mark chapter 5. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Sister Ibi, make some noise. She's quiet. Mark chapter 5. I'm so scared to sit at the front when she's preaching, because she kicks you, she slaps you, she pinches you. Mark chapter 5. Sorry, I'm picking on you today. It says, then they went across the lake, the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Schizophrenic Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirit came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 of them in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Can you imagine all of these things in the guy? Those standing in the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now watch this. He says that this guy was possessed. Now, legion, I think it's schizophrenic. You know, you hear voices. You know, there was a point that he was even cutting himself, self-harm. All of these conditions this guy had. And the Bible said there are times that they would even tie him with chains and fetters, and he will break them easily and walk away. Now, these guys were trying to deal with a spiritual issue with physical means. It would never work. It would never, every time they didn't, he would break away. And so you try, think of all the times that you try to solve spiritual issues with physical means. It would never work. Not until Jesus stepped in. Then suddenly the problem changed. And so anytime you're going through issues, we should never ignore that aspect of the spiritual side of anything we go through. Anything. You see, the Bible says God was protecting not just Job. He was protecting his family. He was protecting his possession. He was protecting everything he had. Because all of this come under the spiritual covering of God. And anytime you walk away from God, you walk from the hedge that God has made around you. So we've got to be really careful. I'll never forget this day that I was in the bus. I was on my way to work. There's this lady sitting next to me on the bus. And she was talking on the phone to somebody. And this was what she was saying. She was saying how her father-in-law is very horrible toward her, how he's very rude towards her, how he doesn't treat her very nicely and all that. And then she said this, but something really surprised me. She goes, just before he died, he called me, and then he apologized for every single thing he did to me. But now what I don't understand is this guy has got Alzheimer's. He's got dementia. How did he even remember that he was doing all of this to me? I'm sitting in the bus and I'm listening to all this. I'm saying, you have no idea. This is a spirit. Because the spirit knows he's about to die, and so they leave him. And suddenly he comes back in his right mind. He calls this woman and he apologizes. You know, these days you hear of mental health, you know, like bipolar and all of this. You think, where is all of this coming from? It's the devil, because once the devil knows he can get your mind, that's the battlefield. He's got you. He's absolutely got you. In Job, the Bible says, when God said, have you considered my servant Job? What did Satan say? He said, you have made a hedge around him, and that's why he's so protected. The hedge you've made around this guy is protecting him from everything I'm trying to do. And so and that's why I always say, some of us, I know for sure that as I stand here today, it's because of the prayers of my parents, my cell leaders, and my pastors. That's kept me. Because it keeps me in that hedge. It keeps me in that hedge. And parents, please, do so for your children. Because the way schools are going these days, once they step out and they're in school, the things they encounter so much that it's only the grace of God that can protect them. Ever. I know some people, they're okay once they get into universities, suddenly everything changes. Because they're outside that hedge. It's really important that we create that hedge around our children, our families, those that we love. Because once they break out, it's really hard to get them back. It's really, really hard to get them back. Really hard. You know, Ephesians, let's see what Ephesians 6:12 says. Ephesians 6:12 says something interesting here. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we are fighting against something that is not on this level. But the manifestation of it takes the form of the physical. When you read how Job was destroyed, the devil worked through natural means, and yet on every level, it was spiritual. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against, it's gone, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In high places, nothing to do with the physical. Everything to do with the spiritual. Now, I'm not saying every problem you face is spiritual, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it is. And so when you're spending all your strength fighting the physical, little do you know that everything is in a different realm. Everything is in a different realm. Everything. Everything. Now the question is, how do we build a wall that will make sure that we are always protected against the evil? How do we make sure we build this wall, make sure that the devil doesn't get access to us? You know, in Revelation chapter 12, let's go to Revelation to show you something in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Listen to this. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, have been held down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. It's the 11 really that I like. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. I'm reading this and I'm seeing the picture of Job here completely. You know, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You know, as I was reading Job, the Bible says, when you read from verse 4 and 5, he would constantly go before God with a sacrifice just to make sure that every loose end is covered. Because the Bible says sometimes he didn't even know how his children behaved. So he'd go before God with a sacrifice just to make sure that every loose end is covered. Every loose end is covered. But you see, now we don't have to deal with the blood of lambs and bulls because we have the blood of Jesus. That is the ultimate sacrifice. But it's your duty to plead the blood every single day over your life. Every single day you need to plead. As you step out, you plead the blood over your life. You saw from the very beginning how Satan himself, that demonic presence, even in the gathering of the righteous, he's there. But it takes the blood to shield you from his work. Because the Bible says he goes to and fro. That's all he does. He's the accuser of the brethren, looking for somebody to devour. He's either looking for your job, your family, your life, your possessions, everything that he can lay a finger on to make you walk away from God, he will do it. And Jesus is saying, that verse in Revelation is saying, the blood of the Lamb is very powerful to protect you. I like the way the Bible gives a description of how the blood works in Deuteronomy, or rather Exodus, rather. If you look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, see how it works. Exodus 12, 22. It says, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on top of both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the house until morning. It means stay within the hedge that I've created. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on top of the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. Now, God has given us a description of how the blood works. That once you have the blood, it's like an enclosure. You're in there, and the destroyer cannot strike you. I remember when in the garden, when God gave Adam and Eve the instruction not to eat from the fruit, little did they know that it was a hedge he was making around them. He said, do not eat from that fruit. And now this thing, God said, look, it's to protect you, but the devil comes and says, no, it's to deprive you. And so he tells Eve, did God really say you shouldn't eat from this? Did God really say what is meant to be for your protection? The enemy say, no, it's not for your protection. God is depriving you of this. And eventually the enemy, they fell for it and simply opened the doorway and that was the end. Their destiny that was supposed to be in the garden was gone. And so we constantly need to plead the blood, always to make sure that every loose end is covered. It's covered. Can we go back to Revelations again? Revelations chapter 12. They triumphed over him. And I'm reading from verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink to death. It's the second point that I want, the word of their testimony. It's more like your confession. And when you talk about word of your testimony, there's two types. There's one in the Bible, the written word of your testimony and your own confession. Sometimes when people stand here and they give testimonies, it's so encouraging to hear what God is doing in their lives. And you know that if God can do it for them, he can do it for you. Every time you share a testimony, it's like a punch in the devil's face. Because he doesn't want to hear anything to do with God in your life. So when you stand here and you're sharing the testimony, you're lifting somebody up, which the devil doesn't like at all. And that's why I encourage testimonies all the time. And also, there's the testimony that is written in the Bible. I remember when Jesus was being attacked in the wilderness. 3 verses from Deuteronomy was enough to send the devil away. Because sometimes you read the Bible, you see what God is doing for other people, and then you read that and you say, you take that as an encouragement for your own self. 3 verses from Deuteronomy was enough to send the devil away. Our confession, daily confession over our lives. You plead the blood, the confession you make, you plead the blood, you make confession, just to make sure you do not give the devil any chance, not just over yourself, but over your life, over the lives of your children, over the lives of your possession, your business, everything that you think is a threat, you plead the blood of Jesus over it. And then lastly, he says, you overcame him. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And it says, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. You know what? When Job was sick, you know what the wife said to him? So why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just curse God? And I can understand where the wife was coming from. Because if you really love someone and you see them suffering so much, and you think, God, I can't bear to see this guy like that. But because Job knew the relationship he had with God, he said, no, I'd rather die than curse God. I'd rather die than curse. There's no way I'll do that. There's absolutely no way I'll do that. No way. And I've said it before, you know, for some people, death is not the greatest loss. The greatest loss is what dies in you when you're still alive. I know people who are alive who have lost their faith. I know people who are alive whose relationship with God is dead. But not Job. He'd rather hold on to God than anything else. Absolutely, than anything else. And to be an overcomer, you have to be committed, just like Job. To be, he said, they overcame him, they triumphed over him, or they overcame him. To be an overcomer, you have to be committed. If you're not committed, you cannot be an overcomer. And so you have to know that the blood speaks volumes, your confession, and then you also have to be an overcomer. Because there's something here that I see at the end of Job, and it only happens because Job decided to be very committed. If you go back to Job chapter 1, Job chapter 42, if you go back to our scripture, Job 42, you see how Job being committed brought him success. Job chapter 42, and I read from verse 12. It says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys, twice the amount of everything he had. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Keren Hapok. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man full of years. It takes commitment. It would have been very easy for Job to say to his wife, I'll curse God and die. But he was committed, very committed to God. It says, at my faith and my relationship with God, I'm going to hold firm. I'm going to keep my integrity. And he got twice what he had before. Listen, for every single day the devil harasses you, God has got a double portion of blessing in store for you. But you need to be committed. This God that we serve is a just God. There's absolutely nowhere that he will sit down for the enemy to bash you like wheat. Never. Every single time the enemy harasses you, it's got double blessing in your favor. Amen. Double blessing in your favor. But he said, the devil himself said something. And that's what we should take care of. He says, look, the only reason I can't touch this man is because of the hedge you've covered around him. And so my advice, let's not break the hedge. Let's not break the hedge. Every single morning you wake up, I was reading this book by this powerful woman of God. She said, for her, what she does is, every 24 hours, she pleads the blood. Once a day, she said, it's enough to cover yourself. Because the devil has this idea of going to and fro. That's all he does. Looking for somebody to devour. That's what he does. Can I ask you to rise on your feet? I always say, God will not bring you this far to leave you the way you are. No, every single person in the Bible who encountered Jesus, or every single person Jesus encountered, he had plans to transform their lives. There are times that Jesus would even go out of his way just for people, just like the woman at the well. And there's so many instances where Jesus will go out of his way just for his children. He won't bring you this far to leave you just the way you are. But sometimes our actions means that he has to withdraw his hand. And that's when the hedge is broken. As long as you go before him every day and say, Lord, I plead your blood over my life. I plead your blood over my family. I plead your blood over my children. I plead your blood over my job. I plead your blood over my possessions. I plead your blood over my day. There's no way the enemy has any way. And you confess the word of God continually over your life just to make sure every loop is covered. Every loop is covered. I really believe this story tells us that, look, sometimes the things that we think we are fighting against in life, it's more than our eyes can see. And once you get it right in the realm of the spirit, then the realm of the physical is taken care of. It's taken care of. And I like the way the Bible starts, because he shows us that, look, it's not just our spiritual life that God is interested in. He's interested in our possessions. He's interested in our substances, the work we do. Every area of our lives he's interested in. But what's important to God is your relationship with him. Your relationship with him and your faith in him. Because had Job not been a committed person, he probably would have ended up worse. But his commitment opened the doors for him to get a double portion of what he lost. Father, I lift your children up before you this morning. I thank you for your word that has come unto them this morning, Father. Father, to this morning, O God, I come into agreement with them, Father. And Lord, every wall that is down, we lift them up right now, Lord. Every wall of protection, Father, we lift that wall up, Lord. I lift their families, O God, into your hands. Their businesses, Lord. Their health, Lord. Their prosperity. Their finances. I lift every one of them before you, Lord. And I place them within the hedge, O God, that you've created for them, Father. Lord, for every single time the enemy has harassed anybody here, Father, I pray for a double portion, O God, of blessing for their life, Jesus. I give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.